This is the beautiful game
described by two ugly gentlemen.
Glory to Columbus!
Who are probably sitting at a soccer bar near you.
McBride's in the box. A hard cross. McBride scores! It's 3-0 United States!
Welcome to Bone and Beam United.
Happy Soccer Podcast Day, part deux. This was a little bit of an extra emergency episode that we weren't planning on doing. I am Bone.
I am Beam.
And
back for 2 days in a row.
Yeah, we recorded, boy, if people understood this, we did a podcast yesterday that aired, is out there now. You can find it wherever you found this podcast. Presumably you found the other one. And then next week there will be another podcast. We recorded that yesterday too. And then last night, Beam texted me when, you know, all of U.S. soccer Twitter for the last week has been like, do it! Do it! Fire him!
Yeah.
And so then yesterday, Greg Berhalter is fired, and Beam's like, podcast tomorrow? And I said,
emergency pod? Question mark?
Got to do it. So we're here. There may be some conversation about soccer games that happened, you know, Uruguay jumping in the stands to
have
a fist fight with the fans after.
Banger of a game.
Terrible situation afterwards.
Yep.
England, is it coming home? One of us picked them.
My team's out. Your team's still in.
My team's, well, you know what's funny? I've been rooting against them ever since. I don't know why, and I'll be rooting against them on Sunday. I don't know why. Like, I don't have anything against them, really. It's just, for some reason, I just want to keep that streak alive of England not ever getting it done, because that, to me, makes
it's
it more fun.
It's a fun streak.
It's more fun just because I know how much it means to English fans. Yeah. And since I'm a petty bastard, that's what I, still haven't forgotten about 1776, you know? Like, that was a bad run you all had before then, so we're still not over it.
We're not done.
No.
Job's not done.
Job's not finished.
Happy about what? Job's not finished. Job's not done.
All right.
How are you today? How are you doing?
I'm good. I stopped and got some coffee on the way in from a place I'd never been to before, this place called Quamaria Yemeni Coffee Company.
Okay.
They have a location in Hilliard and a location up in Lewis Center, and it's delicious. Very good. So I had a little...
You said it's got a little spice to it.
Yeah, I can't tell. I'm not good with recognizing spices, but it's got like a... It's not completely a chai tea flavor, but it's in that vein of just
like a
good.
warm,
very
spiced
good.
Coffee.
Yes,
okay.
It's very good. And I had never had Yemeni coffee before, so I will be back. I'll be doing it again. Also had a lovely dish there with the bread and cream cheese stuffed in it and honey drizzled on it.
Nice.
Whew, good eating. Better than a pancake, buddy. I know that.
Yeah?
It's very, very good. Loved it. I would eat that every day.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah.
They paid us $5,000 to mention that.
Yep, this is a great read. T-Bone here for Yemeni Coffee. Quamaria. Check them out. They're great. They're actually very good. So, U.S. national team search. They are now looking for a head coach because Greg Berhalter has been shown the door.
Yep.
Initial thoughts when you heard this, were you, I mean, no one was shocked that this happened, but were you?
I was a little jarred isn't the right word. Shocked isn't the right word for it. You know how, like, this is going to be a really bad analogy.
Okay.
But
I'm used to those. I make them often.
You know how, like, if a boxing match, and I can't watch combat sports because they make me like physically ill to watch like people like get beat up, like UFC and like people snapping their legs. Like, it's disgusting.
Yeah, I can't do that either. I'm with you.
I watch it and I'm like, every 5 seconds that someone gets hit, I'm like, oh God. I verbalize like how bad that would feel. But you know how...
That's how you felt about the U.S. national team? You wanted to vomit?
No, not that. But like in a boxing match or a UFC brawl, like when the two fighters are kind of figuring each other out, and then someone lands like really the first punch of the match.
Okay.
Where it's like you're staggered a little bit and you're like, whoa, okay, now I'm awake. So the whole last week, I mean, we talked about it last week on the show when we recorded it, just coming off of getting grouped. Like, it was like, okay, fire him now. Like, get him out of here.
They have to do this. I mean, it's that's
they
how
have
this
to
works.
Do this. And so, you know, the longer that you go from that happening, and my lack of trust and or admiration to the U.S. Soccer Federation, I was actually a little bit like staggered that they did it. Like,
right.
My immediate reaction was like, oh, okay, I was a little bit taken aback, and then I'm like, oh, okay, that makes all the sense in the world. But my first reaction when I saw it was like, okay, they actually did do the thing that we all expected to, given the results, not only just for Copa, but everything over the last handful of years.
Yeah, and I think that's where I was getting worried as well, that they were going to just – there was all these kind of quotes attributed to, like, Matt Crocker, who is the sporting director for U.S. soccer. He's in charge of making the coaching hire, essentially. And he's the guy who decided to bring Greg Berhalter back after the, you know, last World Cup and the Reina situation and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. All that investigation. That's all him. So he had some – there was some thought that he's the type of guy who's just arrogant enough to say, oh, yeah, you don't want me to bring him back? Watch me do it. I know what our plan is, blah, 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 blah. And that's where I started getting panicky. I saw the –
well, because you brought him back –
when you had the idea and the pretense to take him, yeah.
Well, you had that, but you brought him back under the clear pretenses that he was going to be the manager in the 26 World Cup. Like, when Greg Berhalter was rehired, was there ever a doubt in your mind, other than this disaster that unfolded during Copa America on U.S. soil, that he was not going to be the national manager for the World Cup?
You know, like, was there? I wasn't 100% that okay. He was going to stick around. Not because I thought that they had any... I thought they draw a pretty firm line in the sand when they say Greg Berhalter is back and he's our guy and we don't care. If that didn't get him fired,
yeah,
then not the World Cup performance, but the fallout of that, you're out of contract, there's a giant controversy. Mm-hmm. The part, again, that I always think the Berhalter defenders and the fans of his always seem to forget is Greg Berhalter went to a place where it was not the U.S. national team and spilled the beans about some stuff happening inside the locker room about one of his youngest and most precocious players, however you want to phrase that.
Starlet.
Gio Reyna, mm-hmm. who definitely didn't have a great tournament, definitely had a bad situation. And he was like, yeah, for some clout at, you know, Davos or wherever the hell he was talking, I'm going to give you, yeah, here we go. I'm going to just lay out one of these dudes that's on my team. That didn't seem great to me. I thought that he brought on a lot of what ended up happening after that. Because he started this whole, look at me here, let me go talk to someone. They were not going to release that publicly. He thought, oops, well, don't say stuff you don't want. It's the old adage, right? Don't put stuff out there you don't want put on the front page of the newspaper.
You were speaking to the public.
Yeah, it was supposed to be a private meeting that no one was going to hear.
But it was a conference. He was like giving a talk.
There were CEOs there from like Fortune 500 companies. He's doing that to like, hey, here, let me answer some questions and tell you. Yeah. And again, maybe you misspoke, whatever. All I'm saying is there were some poor judgment calls there. Poor judgment calls continued from him in his tenure. I would just want to add, I know there are quite a few Crew fans who feel differently about this than most of the rest of U.S. soccer.
I get it.
I do too. I mean, I rooted for Greg Berhalter for this all to happen. I just want to add something to this, and that is we can all acknowledge that he's probably a good dude and seems like a good guy. And maybe I know there are a few people that I know that are personal, like friends of his that can text with him if they, you know, that like him. That's all well and good. That has nothing to do with whether or not he's good at his job.
Yeah.
And there were a contingent of fans who from the day he got hired, who said, I can't believe we hired a loser like Greg Berhalter. Mm-hmm. Those people are not. Forget about that. That's not why U.S. soccer did this. That's not why they brought Greg Berhalter back, by the way. They did this because the performance at Copa America, no matter how much you like him or how much you think he's a good guy, it was not good enough, bar none, end of discussion.
Yep.
And if the players didn't get the job done, which is absolutely true, a bunch of guys who should be better than this did not do their jobs, that is on Greg Berhalter at some point as well. Or even if it's, I don't want to say it's on him, but how do you fix that? Are you going to then tell Christian Pulisic, hey, you had a pretty good game there for one of them and the rest of them kind of like, see ya. Do we tell all these other players that didn't get the job done, Weston McKennie, never calling you again? Are we doing that?
Yeah.
No, you're not. You're going to have to get better out of the stars that you have. Maybe some new faces emerge, but you're still going to have to rely on the core group of guys that you had. Those guys were no longer listening to Greg Berhalter, or they were no longer felt pushed, compelled, moved by anything he was saying to play better.
Doesn't that fall on the coach?
Well, even if it doesn't, I'm saying like that could fall on the players, but ultimately you can't change all the players out.
Traditionally, who does the axe fall on?
It's the responsibility of the coach. But I'm also saying like I'm not even saying that makes Greg Berhalter a bad manager. He's probably a very good manager who was just above his depth. And I think he had run his course. Look at how many managers don't last more than a World Cup cycle.
Yeah.
Look at how many managers don't last more than 4 years. It's a lot of them. Unless you win the World Cup, then you're likely not going to be back the next time, even if you were really successful. And even if you got a lot out of a team that was not expected, it's very rare to see a coach get 7 or 8 years as a national team head coach. So the fact that Berhalter got them back where they needed to in the last World Cup by getting them qualified and getting them out of the group stage, job well done. Next up. That's what it should have been.
Yeah.
And now, finally, 2 years later, they've corrected the mistake. At least they've started to.
I just remember going back to the, would have been 2018 World Cup, like Julen Lopetegui, who was the coach at Spain at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Just to give you an idea of what maybe like national team jobs look like. And again, I mean, this is Spain that we're talking about. Like, had won the Euros, had won the World Cup, like in the most recent decade that we had been in, are now playing for another major championship come Sunday against England. So Lopetegui actually accepted the Real Madrid job on like the eve of Spain's first World Cup game. It was either the day before or 2 days before or whatever it is. The Spanish Federation took so much slight to that and said, you are not focused enough on the team.
Yeah.
You've accepted this Real Madrid job. We are going to fire you. This was 2 days before like the 2018 World Cup.
I forgot all about that.
Even
you're
kicked
right.
off. Like, you want to talk about cyclical nature in coaching and how coaches are fired. The leash that Greg Berhalter was on was incredibly long.
Oh, he had all the slack in the world. And that's where I think it's good that the U.S. And I will say this is in no small part thanks to the fans. I'm not talking about the fans who wanted him out from day one.
Yeah.
I'm saying the fans who legitimately gave him a shot, who said, this we're rooting for you, and then saw the results of Copa America. And then you heard the vocal band of fans that came out and said, I'm not buying any more of your stuff. I'm not buying tickets. I'm not buying jerseys. Yeah. I don't think that had everything. I don't think that's like Matt Crocker was like, I'll never fire him. And then was like, wait, they're not buying jerseys? Oh, no.
Right.
But certainly he knew this situation was not
tenable.
Fan
morale was at one of the all-time lows.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you have the 2 years from now, we are supposed to have what we all hope to be the greatest event of soccer that's ever occurred on our shores.
Yeah.
Right? The 2026 World Cup is something that we're all hoping can be a massive success from the stance of building the game here. But also, we hope the U.S. soccer team is competitive in that tournament. I have zero delusions, to be clear, if you think this is what I'm saying. I am not. I don't believe they're going to win it. I don't expect them to win it. I'm not even holding out maybe even like an ounce of hope that they will win it. That's not what made me say, get rid of Berhalter. He can't win a World Cup. Probably whoever takes his job is not going to win the World Cup.
There are not many teams that can.
Right. And whoever takes his job is not going to probably win the World Cup for the U.S. I don't think so. The players, number one, would have to do that.
Yeah.
And I don't think we've built it well enough yet for that to happen. But what I would love to see is a team that hosts this event make a run. Make it interesting. Give all these fans...
Show some fight.
Well, give all the fans that are going to be watching a chance to really find out what it's like to root for the U.S. national team and be rewarded. Like, again, a run like 2002, I'm in. You know? If you can do that and play... They played Germany in that one and were competitive and had a bad call go against them. It's all still something I'll bring up until I'm probably dead. I'll keep bringing up that game.
Yeah.
But they were competitive in that game.
But how many years on is that? I mean, that's 22 years, and we're still...
We'll be 24 years removed from that by the time
still
the World Cup happens.
I mean, we're still talking about that performance.
That's the last high watermark for this. That's the high watermark for the World Cup. For World Cup performances for the U.S. national team, basically in my lifetime. Because anything that happened before that was when I mean, I wasn't alive. They didn't even make the World Cup until, like, the late 80s. I think going back to the 50s. There was, like, a 30-year gap where they didn't even make it. And then when I was born in 82, so... Since they've been getting back to World Cups now, 2018 excluded, like that's the highest one that's the best we've ever done.
Yeah.
So for me, that's where I'm saying I would like something like that, something that rivals that run to happen. And that was not going to happen with Greg Berhalter.
I also think too that we have, and I know that you just mentioned it, like what this tournament means for this country. And if there's a high likelihood that if you have sought out
our podcast that you already know this.
Right.
But it's such a big deal internationally, nationally, that this tournament is coming to your country and Mexico and Canada. It's also a big deal for them. It's an expanded field, but you are the ones, you are the team that is hosting it, and everything about growing the game and translating, and we can get the dollars and cents of it and everything that comes in between and what a massive financial boon this is going to be just for us. But the amount, I think, of hope in the distance of, you know, 6-8 years ago, whenever it was announced that we were going to get the 2026 World Cup, was always going to be, well, maybe that'll be like, maybe this team will have figured itself out to get ourselves into a position by that time to be really competitive in this. And that the entire nation, and we know this being soccer fans, it's not that you're looked down upon, but if you enjoy it, that's great. You and I enjoy it. But it's not like going to your buddies at the water cooler and being like, oh, man, did you see Uruguay and Colombia last night? It's like, chances are, no, probably not. Like, many people aren't going to do it. There's a great opportunity for people in this country really to get behind something and say, wow, okay, that was cool. Now I'm going to dive in maybe to my local league. Or maybe, you know, we've got a really good MLS team in here. And you know what? My kid is starting to be a fan. And, like, that's how you grow the game, because then you become lifelong fans and you turn supporters in from young kids, and then it's like, hey, I saw this on the TV. I want to do that. You know, like, it's such a big opportunity. I was going to say grassroots. The World Cup, not grassroots.
Well, I know what you mean.
But it's such a massive opportunity on our shoulders as a nation to really show something off and do something special. And I feel like there was no way. If I know this, and you know this, and everybody listening knows that, there was no way that the head of U.S. soccer and the federation could have looked at that result and said, what are you going to do? He's our guy. There was just, there was no way you could do it. You couldn't, they could not sell that to they couldn't sell that to the fans of the team, but they certainly couldn't sell that to the general American public. No way.
No. And for if you're wondering why Beam and I seem so confident that Berhalter wouldn't have got it done, wouldn't have figured it out in 2 more years, it's not even about him figuring it out, I guess. That's probably a poor way to say that. It's about the fact that the players, they were no longer, like I said last week, they were no longer trying to impress Greg Berhalter. Greg Berhalter had to impress them. Greg Berhalter had to, you know, let me chat you up about your family. Let me be this super good guy that's your buddy. Because that's the only way he was getting them to kind of listen to him. And what we need now is someone who comes in where they instantly go, oh, that's who's here? Man, I can't believe I'm playing for that guy. Like,
At the end of the day, you need results.
You need results, but I think you're going to get from a young, talented group that just doesn't seem to have focus and doesn't seem to have the drive yet. You need someone who is going to drive them to be better, push them to be better. And every coach pushes their players to get better.
Sure.
But I'm saying in Greg Berhalter's case, I feel like Greg Berhalter had less cachet with a lot of these guys than anybody else that they, you know, that they should be getting now. They need to look at someone who, number one, is not a system guy who it's, hey, once you play my system 30 times, you're going to really understand how to play in it. Mm-hmm. No, we need a guy who can easily in a week get a team ready to play a different style and have them understand so much of the game that when it comes to it, hey, if I got to move you around tactically, if I got to start you up in, you know, midfield as opposed to you being a wing back, that's okay. Because today we're going to need you to do that, and you're going to do it, and I've got confidence you can. Mm-hmm. Like, this is the stuff we need. We need someone who can actually take this team to another level. I am worried a little bit about some of the comments from Matt Crocker. Matt Crocker, of course, like I said, is in charge of this hiring process. He had a statement yesterday where he said, because they have games in September now.
Yep.
We're a month and a half away from the next start of these games. And don't forget, you're 2 years out from the World Cup. You're already qualified because you're the host nation. The only thing you have to worry about is development of the team for the next 2 years. From the standpoint of, you need to figure out who you've got. You need to know, and you need to try different lineups. You need to be experimenting. Mm. You need to do everything you can. And that's why I thought with Greg Berhalter here, we are now going to be talking about trying to get just rearranging deck chairs on a Titanic. We need someone now who can bring a whole new boat, who can say, let's try something else.
Well, I think
and then that guy can move stuff around and do what he has to do. But you got 2 years to play with it, where if you blow it and lose to Jamaica 3-0 because you try something and it fails miserably, who cares? You can let Josh Sargent run wild for like 2 months of friendlies and see if he doesn't figure something out with this team as your striker. You need to figure out who can play a striker, or if you're going to play with a like actual nine, a false nine.
Right.
It's time to go. It's time to like mess around with this a little bit and find the lineup that works and get that humming in the next 12 months so that the final year of this prep, that team can play together every single time and really gel.
Yeah, the next 12 months are really critical. And the clock is ticking now. Like, it's obviously, like, you just fired your coach. You're going to want to get a new one in there. To your point about rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic, there are a lot of good players, like, currently on this roster, right? But the foresight would have been, if you guys are doing this against Panama and you're doing this against Uruguay on home soil, and this is probably going to be the lineup that you run out in 2 years. I mean, there will be a few changes, but I don't think the scope was there to say like, oh, this lineup will be entirely different. No, I mean, it was going to be the guys who you threw out here in Copa were going to be the guys 2 years in the World Cup. Like, there were no new eyeballs looking at emerging talent, talent who's been around for a while, perhaps talent that has never been invited to camp. Like, they're out there.
Yeah.
So you need someone, and I'm not putting all this that's going to be on the new manager. You need buy-in from the entire organization that we are going to literally scour the world wherever you're playing. If you're playing here in MLS, if you're playing over in Japan, you're playing over in Italy, wherever you're playing, if you have an American citizenship and either you have announced yourself that I am going to be playing for America or I haven't announced yet and maybe I'm a dual national, got three or four citizenships, like, hey, there is an opportunity for you because it's open game. Like, it's no... Yep. No spot in the next 2 years should be any divine right that it's you.
Yeah, man, I am 100% behind that because I feel like a lot of the players that are currently there, a lot of the problem with U.S. soccer has been, well, you don't know how we do things around here, do you? You know, you don't really know that's how U.S. soccer works. I don't want someone who knows how U.S. soccer works.
Yeah.
Because U.S. soccer has functionally not worked at the international level when it comes to these big competitions for at least 10 to 15 years. I mean, you want to go back to that, what was the, I'm trying to remember that World Cup preview that they did, South Africa.
2010.
Confederations Cup. Remember that where the U.S. was playing, like, was it Spain? Am I wrong? Like,
we had Confederations Cup, then we have Leagues Cup.
Yeah,
and
but I'm
got
saying,
Cup
like,
of Nations.
There was where the U.S., I want to say 2009, 2010, before that World Cups, I think it would have been 2009 Confederations Cup where they like played Spain in the
2009
final?
Confederations Cup.
Yeah?
Yep.
Did we play Spain in the final?
We had like runners up.
Yeah.
The U.S. against Brazil.
Brazil! I'm sorry, not Spain. Brazil.
You beat Spain in the semifinal.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Like that. Since then, we've really not had the success we had hoped for, you know? And in seeing the progression of this team. And, of course, who did they have on that team? They had in his prime Landon Donovan, in his prime Clint Dempsey.
Yeah.
You had guys who were just dudes who had DeMarcus Beasley, I think, was still clearly in his prime at that point and helped, you know, big help in that regard. You had guys who knew how to play, had been on the big stage, and they had actually won some stuff on big stages as younger players. This group now has not really won a lot on a big stage. You're going to need someone who comes in and can look at the players who haven't won and said, yeah, but this guy can. This guy can. That guy, I don't know. That guy, I don't think he's got it. They need to be able to identify that. And then, like you said, go around the world and look at players that maybe have been in the pool, not been in the pool, but they need to figure that out. A better level of coach will attract some players who may have the opportunity to decide to come over here.
Your lineup for that final lineup was Tim Howard, who was,
Well, again,
he was obviously terrific.
Right, which is such an underrated part of how good these teams were back then was that Tim Howard could keep you in games when the rest of the team couldn't figure it out.
Jonathan Spector at right back. Mm. Aguchi and Yewu. I loved that guy.
We have not had a center back like him in quite some time.
Jay DeMarit, other center back. Carlos Bocanegra at left back.
But again, right there, Bokes, an absolute dude. Jay, even like... Jay DeMarit was okay. Who was the other guy at center back?
Anya Nguchi.
No, and who was the other?
Jonathan Spector.
Jonathan Spector. Yeah, yeah. Those guys were, they were fun. They were like solid players in the back line.
Ricardo Clark and Benny Failhaber in midfield. And then Dempsey Donovan, Josie Altidore, and Charlie Davies. Like, those were...
Charlie Davies, the guy that could have been, right? Yeah. Like, that's one of those things that... Man, if Charlie Davies doesn't have an accident that almost, like, took his leg off, a car accident, then I, you know, who knows how much different his career would have been. I'm not here to, like, relitigate the past. But what I am saying is they had a player pool that had some good young talent and some guys who had been there, done that, and were on the run. Like, they were making it happen. I feel like now you have... Christian Pulisic has to be the best player on this team in 2 years. Or if he's not.
Or somebody else.
Or, I mean, I'd love it if someone else is. But what I'm saying is he has to be like how Landon Donovan was. You know you're going to every time get a great performance out of him.
Yeah.
Clint Dempsey, you know you're going to get a great performance out of him. Do we have three or four guys you can say that about right now?
No.
No. Like, Weston McKennie, I thought was that guy. And then this tournament kind of made me question everything I thought I knew about him. You have to look at guys like Aiden Morris. Can we put him in the mix? And I know I'm a Crew fan who loves him.
Yep.
But the next person needs to be able to make those decisions and needs to upend a little bit and say,
make
hey,
a phone call to the Crew. What's Darlington up to? So you thought about coming back to the national team?
Might need to broach that subject.
Now that's 2 years away from now. I know that's a long time, especially
he's played
with the amount of minutes and games that he actually plays.
Yeah, but you know what? If we're talking about like guys to put in the roster who maybe it's like, yeah, they're not going to play it. Maybe he's not going to play a ton, but he can help you with
bring him into camp and just
Is he a good leadership guy, by the way?
I think so.
Captaining a team that's won multiple MLS Cups? I don't know. Seems like maybe he's a guy that
played for like 2.5 straight years without
everywhere he goes, he wins.
Yeah.
Again, the answer has been from him, he doesn't have any desire to do that.
Yeah.
So he may not still. But we don't know if you don't have a coach that maybe can get someone to rethink all their decisions. So we're going to talk about that. We'll take a break. We'll discuss some options that are out there. And the first name that we're going to bring up. It's not a tease at all. You already know the first one's going to come up. The likelihood, the possibility, the reality, or the pipe dream. What is Jurgen Klopp to the U.S. men's national team? We will tell you what we think next. It is Bone and Beam United.
It defies description. Now back to Bone and Beam United.
You can tweet the program at Bone Beam United. Don't forget, next week we're both off next week, but we've decided to put an episode together. It is our first ever episode where we're just talking about a person in soccer for an entire half hour or 20 minutes or whatever it ended up being. I forget. But the person that we're talking about is not a player. It is a guy who I would love to have seen get a crack at this job for the U.S. Nats. He will not. But that is Jose Mourinho. Love him or hate him. Next week we discuss.
Love me or hate me. You always watched.
Yep, that's exactly right. So speaking of coaches, let's get into the discussion. And as you know, the name at the top
just
of this board.
Just fire away with it.
Name at the top of this board that, the dream everybody has is Jurgen Klopp. Jurgen Klopp coming here. I think we should have a real discussion about what he actually is as a coach and if that is what the U.S. national team would even need, never mind the fact that we know how good he is. Okay.
So let me just tell you before we get into it.
Yeah.
And again, mind you, the source of this is coming from The Independent over in England. Greg Berhalter was fired yesterday. As of right now, it is 9:43 in the morning, Eastern time on Thursday, July 11th. So the United States, again, this coming from The Independent, the United States have identified Jurgen Klopp as a top target as they seek new manager to replace Greg Berhalter.
They've also put a discovery claim on him, just like MLS teams
do. The Independent understands that initial contact has been made with Klopp over the possibility of replacing Greg Berhalter as the United States gears up for the 2026 World Cup.
Okay.
So that first of all, that could just be whoever is deciding to make this call to now expand on the coaching search, getting Jurgen Klopp's agent's phone number and saying, hi, hello, we have a job opening.
Right.
That is what potential talks or have made contact can be.
Yeah. I mean, it could be something as simple as, you know, I am person X from U.S. soccer reaching out to agent Y who is
on the behest of Jurgen Klopp.
Yeah. Just saying hello and salutations. Obviously, we'd love to chat with you at some point if you have time this week to maybe have an initial discussion. That could be all that this is about. Jurgen Klopp is rumored to have made at Liverpool $20 million a year.
Yeah.
Also, Jurgen Klopp does not strike me as a person who is entirely motivated by money, but he's got an agent. He's not going to be let to coach U.S. soccer for anything less than a significant amount of money, more than they've ever paid for a head coach.
Well, and I think that the Federation will see that and say, okay, whatever. And I don't feel like this is going to be a money issue with them.
No,
I really don't. If there was even a conversation happening that says Jurgen would take this job for what he was making at Liverpool, like 20 million.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
And then the U.S. Federation would be like, hey, do we have that in the budget? Okay, if so, and if this is real and this is the dollar amount that he is asking for, then by hell or high water, let's come up with it.
You know what would happen too? Just to get the money thing off the table so we don't have to, you know, so people know that that's an actual, that's not the reason Jurgen Klopp's not taking this job.
But I'm saying if it,
right.
If it were.
It, right. But the money thing, U.S. soccer might say we have $3.5 million a year for a head coach. And then Michelob Ultra has $10 million a year for Jurgen Klopp to be an endorser of their products. And oh, look over here. All of their corporate sponsors would then say, we also have money. That's how that would happen. Yeah. It would be like name, image, and likeness with college sports. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just so that don't worry about the money. That's not what I think it would come down to. The reality is Jurgen Klopp doesn't, again, to our knowledge, he has said club soccer's not for him. He's done. He doesn't have the desire to do it. That was a couple months ago. So I don't know that international soccer is, I mean, we know it's very different than club soccer, but I don't know if it's that different to him in the sense that he is going to have to do all the things as a coach that you had to do with the media. And now, you know, for the next 2 years, you are going to be the center of attention in not a small country. You're going to be the center of attention in the United States when it comes to soccer. You are going to be
the face. You're the face.
You're the face of U.S. soccer for the World Cup. Does he want that? Is that a challenge he is excited about? My initial guess is it's probably not his number one, like, oh, yeah, thank God they're asking me. That's what I want to do. If this is a guy who's saying he wants to recharge, he doesn't have the energy for it, doesn't have the, you know, I can totally see him saying, I just don't have any desire to coach anybody.
Not right now.
If he does have a desire to coach at the national team level, which, like we said, is different than club because you're not week in, week out. You get players for a few weeks a year, and then you spend a lot of time developing relationships and building stuff and
which
working
he's
with your coaching
very,
staff.
He is very good at that.
Absolutely right.
He's one of the best in the world at that.
Absolutely right. And he is the type of guy that I do think would be great at saying to a player, well, just walking into a room, all those players' necks snap to attention. They go, oh my gosh, Jurgen's here. All right, let's see what he has to say. If he comes up and is like, hey, the way you play inspires me. I mean, these players are going to like, I will die for this man if you say that. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, all these guys grew up watching teams that he coached.
No doubt.
They know, they've watched, they played against him, and they know how good of a coach he is. You know, a lot of them have played against Liverpool, I'm quite sure, in many of their stops.
Dortmund before that.
Yeah. So these are, you know, he is very familiar to them. They are very familiar to him, but not in a way like Greg Berhalter was, in a way that they go, my God, there's a legend of coaching right there. Now he's coaching me. I got to impress him. The issue, I think, comes down to this. If he wants to do national team head coaching, there's going to be a very good chance that Germany's job will be open.
Yeah.
And if it's not open now, it'll be open in 2 years. What I think makes this not a complete zero chance, I do think it's less than 2% chance that Jurgen Klopp takes this job, right? But here's why it's not zero, is I don't think this is more than a two-year job.
No.
For him. I think the job would be you guide us. You come in now as we've gotten back to the expectation levels are back up. We've made a World Cup again.
Yeah.
Now you take this talented generation and you show us whether or not we have anything. And we do it in front of the whole world in 2026 with this whole deal. You take that on, and in 2 years' time, you get your break. You either get to go like never coach again, you get to go Germany.
Coach wherever you want.
Yeah.
Run organizations.
Yes. I'm just saying he could maybe, if he is having like a Tom Brady-esque retirement moment where he says, you know what? I miss it, but I don't want to go back and coach club, but I wouldn't mind. Now, this isn't, you know, go to the U.S. and be the savior of U.S. soccer.
To your point, it's a fascinating job.
Like this job is incredibly fascinating.
Yeah. Because you essentially, I mean, did you hear Giorgio Chiellini? Did you see this clip of him? Fox was signing off with their coverage of the Euros.
I did see it.
And I think it was his like last broadcast he's going to do, because I think he's flying home and he's like, this is his last time on the desk.
Yeah.
And he had a quote where he was just passionately imploring. He said, you know, I lived in the U.S. for a couple years. Soccer is growing. I am so happy for the fans. Yeah. But after this tournament is over, like, don't stop watching
keep
soccer.
Watching.
Don't stop playing.
Keep loving
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Keep loving this game. Keep learning about it. Keep growing. He was talking
about it like as a child. He really was.
He was talking about it like he was a like kid who played it all his life in America
yeah.
and had grown up being an American saying, I want soccer to get big here. He is an Italian. He is one of the Italian legends yeah. of soccer, saying, I really hope America figures this out. Is there a chance that Jurgen Klopp, a guy who also seems to have very fond thoughts of the U.S., might also value being able to help with that? I'm saying, if you told Giorgio Chiellini, hey, man, I got a chance for you, not as a coach, but I got a chance for you to help grow the game in America, he seems like the type of guy who might actually be interested in mm-hmm. that. And I just had never considered that someone like Chiellini would give two bleeps about yeah. how big or bad the game is here, but he does. And there might be other people in that realm of legendary players and coaches who may also feel that strongly about it. 2026 is the opportunity to grow. Like, all the missteps U.S. has made, you can undo a lot of them and even maybe jump past where you should have been
yeah.
in 2 years' time if you kind of start to put this right. So Jurgen Klopp has that opportunity in front of him as well. And I don't know if that interests him.
It all comes back to him, though, when he had his farewell tour and the farewell message that I'm tired. And it all comes down to him.
Yeah.
It also comes to the Germany job, if that's going to be open too, because that obviously.
And that's the mitigating factor. Obviously, is that beyond all of this, if he does decide he wants that, he wants to get back to national team coaching, Germany's going to say.
How much? When?
When, where, how? We will do it now. We'll have you.
It just comes down to his desire to want to get back at it this quickly.
And I think he won't want to. I don't think it's about the money. I don't think it's about the U.S. is not a job that he's above that. It's if anything, if he has the energy for this and Germany is aware of that, they're going to make him their next head coach. That would, you know what I mean? And I can't see him turning down Germany in favor of the U.S.
I can't either.
I don't know the guy at all.
Would you turn down the U.S. coaching job for Germany?
No, exactly. Right.
Well, maybe.
Well, no, but I'm saying all things being equal and you think you can guide whoever it is to be very, very successful. Mm-hmm. Do you want to be Germany has had World Cup winners. There have been other managers who have won World Cups. There will be different pressure there. Here, he will be viewed as the savior. And if you could just do anything, please, kind sir, give us some wins. Like he will be forever revered here. His bottom line will change more coming here than it ever will going to Germany. But I don't think that motivates him. I don't think that's what he's about. But that's the Jurgen Klopp take for me, is that it's a less than 2% chance. But
it's
it's dead.
For me, it's actually more of a chance than what it was a couple of weeks ago. Like, you know, when you and I were having this conversation about, like, oh, what are you going to do with Greg Berhalter? And if we go back and listen to the tape, I'm like, nope, not going to happen. Wouldn't even entertain the idea. I'm at like 2% now. I'm obviously still, I don't believe that it's going to happen, but I'm higher than a zero.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
right.
I'm higher than a zero now.
I'm not saying it because I'm optimistic or like, I really believe. No, I'm saying separating myself from what I want, which I would want him to coach.
Obviously, yes.
But I see it as it's not a zero chance. I can't in any way, shape, or form look at him as a person, look at everything he's said and done, and say there's a 0% chance he's interested in the U.S. and that they wouldn't be able to find the money if he was. So I'm guessing it won't happen because of, if anything, lack of motivation to coach anywhere right now and not wanting to coach somewhere that's not Germany if it is to be a national team job. Let me just tell you right now some other names. So there's an article here by Henry Bushnell from Yahoo Sports.
It was a good job. He compiled, 18 to 20 guys?
18 candidates,
just names. And, I mean, the candidate may not even be on this list, but just to give you an idea kind of the scope.
Yeah. Well, here are some names that I instantly want to cross off the list. Steve Cherundolo. Sorry. No. And not because he's...
Well, you said that before we even got going, too. You're crossing off...
Every MLS coach.
You're crossing them off.
And again, as a Crew fan, you know how I love Wilfried Nancy. It's not that I think he would be a bad coach. Although, I have this question about him and a lot of... You know, especially him. Everyone's talked about his system. His system is awesome. His system is great. Isn't this a lot like what we talked about with Greg Berhalter? Not different types of system, but Nancy is the type of guy that I think really has to build his team.
Yeah.
And then you have to build up into that style of play and learn it and grow with it.
Different way.
Different way.
Greg's, obviously.
But his way seems to work very well with the club. Now, some coaches are fantastic with club teams and would do terrible in a national team job.
Here would be my rebuttal to that. And I'm in agreement with you. I think it's a very intricate system. We all watch the Crew. It's mesmerizing. When they're on, they are incredible to watch. And it's very entertaining. Now, my rebuttal against that would be, he's only been here for a year and a half. Look at what he's gotten out of his players in that short amount of time. Now, I know he's with them every day. He right. is with them that's, every that's, single day, and they go through camp, and they go through seasons, and they are training that constantly. But he has only been here a short amount of time, and like that's what he's gotten out of them.
Yeah, I feel like Wilfried Nancy is a little bit – he's doing the thing in a way in MLS where I think he is – a little bit like maybe a kid who you get a transfer student from a country that plays a lot of soccer, like in high school, mm-hmm. you can get a Brazilian kid or a German kid or like some English
wow.
you know, kid. And he comes to play for your local high school team. And maybe like at his high school, he's like good, or his club team where he plays, he's good, but he's not like a pro. He's not going anywhere, but he comes to your local high school and he's like, suddenly he's getting a scholarship to a Division I school because they're like, wow, this kid can play. Now that's more of a thing from 20 years ago. I think, there's a lot better soccer here now, but yeah. like I remember growing up in high school, we had a kid who came from Brazil to our school, a like, you know, foreign exchange student, and he balled out. He was like our best player. And he was just a kid. Yeah. He's just a like kid who grew up with it, knew how to play. I feel like Wilfried Nancy is taking concepts and certainly has his unique approaches, but this is a guy who has a very good system, obviously knows what he's doing. And I think in MLS has just not really had anything like this. And the world of soccer, if you watch, there are a lot of soccer teams that are starting to play like that. He is not the only one who does this. He's really the only one in MLS who has dared to say, keep the ball on your foot, come get it.
Yeah.
But there, if you watch like big time European soccer, if you watch soccer around the world, like this is not something that no one has ever seen before. He's revolutionary to a degree. And I love Wilfried Nancy. I don't think he has invented a new brand of play that no one can ever do. You know what I mean?
Here he has.
He has an MLS. And in CONCACAF. I mean, you saw how well it worked in the CONCACAF. Got him to the final. I think that is important. But I also think it is something that matters if you are to have a guy like him for your club team. I don't think it works for the international level. Now, I'll tell you a guy that I think is the opposite, that actually has a close working relationship with Wilfried Nancy and is a name I would be very intrigued by. And that
it's
is...
This is our guy.
Well, Thierry Henry would be he has coached a couple different places. He obviously coached in MLS, coached at Monaco.
Bad stints.
Bad. Not good.
Really bad.
But the argument could be made, well, maybe he just doesn't work at the club level. But when it comes to inspiring players to play better, now imagine if Wilfried Nancy is his top assistant. Now there we could be talking where it's like you get the X's and O's from Wilfried and then
not only are you taking Thierry Henry off my TV set, you're taking Wilf away from coaching.
Yeah, I actually hate, please forget I said any of this. That's also like, I want to say a 0% chance of any of that happening.
I thought you were going to talk about our guy, Av Reyna.
Oh, well now that's a very, see, I was.
Or Irv, as we like to call him.
Irv Renard. This is the guy who is the France women's national team manager.
Coached, was it Saudi Arabia in the last World Cup?
He coached Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
He led both in the 2010s. He got Zambia and Ivory Coast to Africa Cup of Nations titles.
Yeah.
He got Morocco and Saudi Arabia to the World Cup in each of their years, where they both played way above expectations. That is the type of coach that I think makes a ton of sense. First of all, Irv Renard.
Beautiful.
Extremely handsome man.
Sex will sell at the World Cup.
Gosh, are you kidding? They put him on, like,
he's the guy. If you haven't seen him, first of all, Google him. He's gorgeous.
Google him. He's, yes.
He would be the guy who's on the weird, like, perfume or cologne commercials that really don't have any direction. It's just shirtless guys with long hair talking about whatever scent it is. It's like, Blue by Armani. Like, and there's just a guy in the background. He's that's him. Like,
he's kind of got that look in his eyes that says, hello. Yeah, I am here
that's
to.
Him. That's the guy.
I am here to sip the coffee and have sex with people that you love.
like that's the guy. Just,
no, but you know what? This is a coach, man. This is a guy.
He's
who,
a hell of a coach.
He has coached at all different levels and won. Like, he's won major Confederation championships.
And he bounces around from team to team like crazy. Like, it's proven that he will coach one team, he will have success. He will go to the next team, he will have success.
I'm not saying he is the number one candidate, but I will say this.
I would entertain that idea for sure.
Dude, he's up there. He's a top three guy for me because of this fact. The U.S. national team should have a manager who can come in and say, I know I have a short amount of time. I don't have there's zero fat on my approach here. I'm not going to
on my body.
We're not going to spend a lot of time doing like, I don't know, roller coaster rides at Kings Island to try to get you like so that we can all get to know each other. We have to learn how to play soccer well in the next 2 years, and I only have a few chances to do that with you. So here's my proven approach to get that done. This guy has gotten results with lots of different players from lots of different cultures from all around the world. I don't know his level of English, but obviously I hope that is not something they are concerned about when it comes to if you can speak English well or not. But if he can or can't, it's irrelevant to me. That is the type of manager where I think his resume is good enough that even if Christian Pulisic and Weston McKennie, what am I doing today? I can't speak. If those guys don't recognize how good he is, then they haven't been following soccer. Yeah. They clearly know the talent that this guy is.
I think he would
command that type of respect.
He's not really a developer of. And so we had talked about like scouring the world and developing guys. He's not that.
But you know what?
But he is not that kind of a coach.
I want them to. What I would rather him do is scour the world and say, this guy can play right now. And by the way, he's going to compete for a starting job.
Yeah.
I think development should be happening at the club level. That should be your professional, personal goal. Like, I don't think your national team should be developing you. Your national team develops you when you're 12.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're the national group organization. They identify and try to nurture talent when it's young.
U15, U16s.
Yeah.
You get into the Olympic cycle like that.
They should not have to hold Tyler Adams' hand and say, buddy, we got to get you a little bit better now.
Yeah.
No, he's a professional soccer player. If he's not better, then don't play him. You know, like,
we're working on square passing today. Like, we're not
and that's the thing. Matt Crocker has said he wants someone who can develop talent. That's not the job. Your job as the national team is to find roster development.
Yes.
Very different to me.
I agree with that.
Look at the mix of guys. You are now, as Bill Parcells famously said, shopping for ingredients to make the dinner. You are not out there trying to mill the flour. You're looking at the flour and going, that's the best flour for this bread I'm about to make. That's the best. These are the best eggs.
That was an amazing analogy.
Well, I'm just saying, you don't need to be out there like, we're growing the grain out of the. No, you go to the store and you get the best, and then you make something better. And that's what they need to do now. You need someone who knows how to shop for ingredients.
And then you make a delicious coq au vin for dinner.
Yeah.
If you're Irv.
Do you want a farmer or do you want a chef?
Beef bourguignon.
Sounds delicious. I want a chef. I don't want a farmer. The farmer can grow the ingredients. I want a chef. I want someone who can cook it up and serve me a delicious win. That's what I would like.
Avishar, come on. You coach the national team.
Yeah. Hey, that'd be great. Bring him on. Love Joyous. That's a good spot.
It is terrific.
Did you tell me about that spot?
I don't know.
We've talked about it plenty of times. Okay. So outside of Klopp, here are some of the other big names that Henry Bushnell mentions. You just tell me yes or no. Zinedine Zidane.
No. I mean, yes, but
I love
there's
it,
a
but
less
no.
percent chance of, than he Jurgen. Has,
yeah,
for
I think I like, honestly think you have a better chance of getting Jurgen Klopp than you do of Zinedine Zidane.
He has famously said, I don't want to coach in the Premier League because I don't really want to learn English. If he's not going to coach in the Premier League,
I don't think he should have to, for what it's worth.
Yeah.
I don't think that should be a requirement for the U.S. national team. But it's the World Cup on U.S. soil. They are probably going to want someone who at least is able to give an interview in English.
Yeah.
But I don't care if he can or not.
It's a yes for me, but it's a no.
It's a no. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Mauricio Pochettino.
No.
No, I don't think yeah. I don't think this again. I'm not as thrilled about it if you are a successful manager of a club team. I want to know how you did when you managed at a World Cup type of level. Then you've got this name is out there that Thomas Tuchel's a free agent.
Would be interesting because Tuchel is a bridge burner. So, I mean, if you want to come in here to see, you want to see the national team with new eyeballs, I think he would do that. It's just the fact that you may have a worse time with him than you did with Greg.
Famously did not get along with your biggest star on the team.
Correct.
Christian Pulisic. Yeah. So that's also a bit of an issue.
Might be a good thing, though.
Well, maybe. Maybe that, I don't know. But
Christian, I have to play you. So you're going to have to go out there and play better.
Yeah, but you want to talk about adding in some tension. That would do it.
Sometimes you need a little tension in the room.
Well, if you go look at his resume, how long does he last at all these places?
About 2 years.
And how much time do we have till the next World Cup?
About 2 years.
So, hey, man, get him over the
finish line. I'm envisioning this job, and I know we talked about this with Jurgen. This is a 2-year job. Like, whoever takes this job, you are done after July, whatever the final date's going to be, July 15th of 2026.
Well, and then you know what I hope?
Like, you're done.
Then I hope it's the type of job after you elevate this that then when we look to 2030.
Gareth Southgate. He comes in.
No, but then when we talk about suddenly like someone like Zinedine Zidane is like, I've just put Rosetta Stone on my phone. I am, you know.
I've just like, installed Duolingo.
Whatever. Like, I'm saying I hope that in 2 years it is that type of job where someone elevates it now from where it has been to this next level. The World Cup goes well. In a dream scenario, they have a big run, and then that manager is like, my job's done. I got him to where you needed, but now you deserve the best coach in the world. I'm going to go manage another team and do the same thing to them. And then you go out and you could hire anyone in the world possibly. And the budget's there and the sponsors are there and the fans are like, it's leading sports center. Who are they going to hire? Like, you know, that's the type of thing I hope it is in 2 years, but it's not there right now. So here's some other names that they've mentioned as gettable foreign head coaches. We already mentioned Irv Renard, who may just be my number one choice at this point. Joachim Löw.
Yigi Löw, the finger smeller.
I'm sorry.
Coach Germany.
We cannot have him be the face of U.S. soccer. We can't. This dude's sticking his hands in his pants every 5 seconds.
I like Yigi Löw, but he is pretty gross.
Yeah. It's not really that. Honestly, he's a great manager. What did he do with Germany? Like,
won a World Cup.
15? No, but I think
it was like 15 years.
He was one of the guys who was there for forever.
Long time.
Yeah.
Really? So, I mean, hell of a coach.
Yeah.
He's just a weirdo.
Right. And I don't think that's exactly I don't think he's the most marketable guy. But you know what? Again, if you win me a World Cup and then people are like, well, he sniffs his hands, but my God, can he coach some soccer? We won a World Cup with the hand sniffer. Okay. Marcelo Gallardo, former Argentine manager, he won the trophy at River Plate in Argentina.
Your guys. Boca, your guys.
Boca, my guys. But he then went to Al Ittihad, where it has not gone well for him, and he was fired after 7 months.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's a guy who has some clear talent as a manager. I don't think, again, I don't think he has the cachet to walk in and instantly command the respect, you know, of all the guys in the room. Also, I don't know what he's going to do at the national team level. That is a big issue for me. I don't know that we are going to be looking at
a 75-year-old coach.
Yeah, and Jose Pekerman, I don't think, is where we're going in that situation. But he is a guy who coached Argentina and coached Colombia and has plenty of time developing players in the youth ranks. He'll be 76 by the time. I don't know. I feel like right now our country's kind of going through a thing with guys who are over 70 running things. Maybe it's not the time to introduce another.
Maybe a youth movement.
Yeah. Also, again, there's no chance that anybody in American sports media is going to be able to say Jose Pekerman or Pekerman 1,000 times and not make stupid jokes. So
Pekerman.
Yeah. It's
there you go. There's one.
Exactly. See? Ding. Got one done. the other names on this list, Patrick Vieira, who obviously managed an MLS, but again, and has, I would say, a better resume as a manager than certainly most MLS coaches, but no, I'm not interested in him. Stefano Pioli, who was fired by AC Milan, but Christian Pulisic was awesome at AC Milan this year. Again, is that making a move that then satisfies like one of your big stars? I don't know. I don't know if we need Christian Pulisic to be satisfied and happy all the time with his manager. But then again, I said Thomas Tuchel can't work here because he's not going to make Christian Pulisic happy. So I don't know what I want. We already kind of kicked around Thierry Henry. I think that's hilarious.
Put a pin in that.
But again, the only way it works is if you have a 1A coach underneath him.
Yes.
Who is like
the technical director.
If you have someone who then is basically like the actual tactician head coach, and Thierry Henry is more or less there to say,
he's a figurehead.
Well, he can work on individual development with guys in those quick moments and say, listen, do you understand what I'm getting at? This is why you're not scoring.
Yeah.
You're not doing this. You know, he could do a little of that, but it doesn't have to be like I'm building up your whole game. He's teaching you the finer points, but your tactics and everything else are coming from somewhere else. I do feel like, not that he's not capable of it. I just think that there should be a really strong support staff with that. But Thierry Henry, as far as comes in and commands respect, without a doubt. Every player in that locker room says, I want to be Thierry Henry someday.
He is coaching the French national team in the Olympics here at the end of
the
month.
We'll see how they do.
And again, he's not, obviously that hasn't been a long like runway for him. So it'll be, and the Olympics is obviously a much different animal than what the World Cup is. But I would say put a pin in Thierry Henry.
Sure.
I would be totally intrigued on that idea.
Yeah, I would miss him being on our TVs.
Yeah.
But
maybe he could do both.
Maybe. Well, hey, we got guys. Doug Gottlieb in college basketball is going to do a radio show and coach a basketball team. So
true.
I guess you can. David Moyes.
No.
That's, again, plenty of experience as a manager, not the experience we're looking for. Edin Terzic.
Yes. I'm in.
If you didn't see Borussia Dortmund,
I'm in.
How they played this year.
I'm in.
Now, he has obviously a tremendous amount of talent at that club.
Yeah.
But
you want to look at a guy who's good at developing. And this longer than a 2-year job?
Yeah.
That, I mean, is from the Mecca of,
yes,
of if literally development from the age of 15, 16 on to 20, 22 years old, go off and be a big star.
Well, and who had,
and I know that it was a short run for him, but the way that they played in the Champions League, are you doing?
And I would say at least in 3 or 4 of their matchups in the Champions League that I watched, at least, they were not the most talented team of that day, of the two on the field.
Right.
Especially in,
but they were the better teams.
Yes, not on paper.
Right.
But in the run of play, they were.
Should have beat Real Madrid.
Should have.
Yeah.
And Real Madrid just had more talent. But that's the way that he got a team to play. I would be very excited if that ended up being the hire. And then I told you the rest of these names he had, they're all basically MLS.
Where are
names.
You at on Jesse Marsh if you're able to buy him out of his contract in Canada?
That's an interesting.
Think that you want to talk? I talked about Thomas Tuchel burning a bridge. Jesse Marsh seems to be that kind of a guy. I don't know what his standing relationship is with U.S. soccer at the minute.
Well, that's so. There's a few angles there for me. One, just purely, can this guy coach at the international level? Clearly, yes. You saw what he did with Canada. And got him into the third place game, which I'm guessing they'll win because I don't think Uruguay is going to even want to be there.
No.
And they may have players suspended for all we know for that game. But Jesse Marsh, no one wants to play in that game, but Jesse Marsh may have his team finishing third place in Copa America.
Which is awesome. It's Canada.
Yeah. And if you think the U.S. is talented or not talented, whatever you think of the U.S. talent pool, Canada's is less.
Yeah.
They have fewer of the players that you need to win these type of tournaments. And he got them much further than the U.S. ever could hope for. And I think that's certainly something that has to be considered. He is someone who will absolutely scream the F out of you during a game.
Fine.
He will dress you down, but he has coached in multiple huge leagues. He has coached Champions League. The only question I had before if they would have hired him was that same thing I've been saying about all these other guys. Can he get it done when you don't have a lot of, he had 2 months with this Canada group.
Yeah.
And he got them to play like this. So I do think that his ability, especially in a smaller, compacted window, to get guys to buy in, that's important. And he showed he can do that.
And he also he knows the ins and outs of the organization.
That's one of the issues I have on the flip side is I do typically, I'm really at a point now where I feel like I want this team to move past guys who it's like, well, he's a U.S. guy and we know him. I don't care if you know him or not.
Yeah.
Now, the nice thing about that is If there's anyone who's currently more outside of U.S. soccer, I don't know who it is.
Or someone who is currently upset and wants to drop a bomb on the whole thing and rework it.
Yeah, I'm saying if they come back hat in hand to him, it will not be like they finally have rewarded someone after years of toiling. It will be them apologizing to a guy who probably should have gotten the job the last go around. Yeah. And now that guy will have ultimate authority to change whatever the hell he wants.
Totally.
There will be no, well, but Jesse, we don't like that. He's going to be like, "Then you, I'm sorry, did you just ask me to leave your neighbors to the north?
Yeah.
We're going to, you know, we're in the same World Cup, right? With hosting the same World Cup that you are. I could just do that and play in all the same cities and have a better chance to win than what you're doing right now. You want me to come down there? It's going to cost you."
Yeah.
He'll get a bigger payday.
And I wouldn't blame him for that one iota. Blame him at all.
I wouldn't blame him if he also said, "Matt Crocker, you have to wear a sign around your neck that says I'm an idiot."
I also wouldn't blame him introductory press conference. Just responded like with double birds.
No, of course.
He's just like, no. But you guys had your chance. Look at the way I've got my guys playing. We'll see you in 2026.
Yeah.
I would give him no fault in that if that's the way the conversation went down.
I would love to see a guy like that. So I'm very high on him. I'm very high on Herv Renard.
Yep.
Let me throw out another name to you. What about who's not on this list? Roberto Martinez.
Okay. It'd be interesting. Obviously specialists at coming in and doing this.
Yeah.
Not the best go with Belgium in the World Cup.
No,
but that is also a team who hated each other when they played.
Well,
like they were very talented, very good. And the infighting in that team was pretty gnarly.
Yeah. I feel like Belgium players, they were told that you were coaching a bunch of high school phenoms. Yeah. Not Christian Pulisic's been a phenom since he was 12.
Yeah.
But what I mean is in the world of international soccer, everyone in the world knew this Belgium group for the last 12 years was the chosen one. Like, not like the U.S., where in the U.S. we're like, Christian Pulisic might actually be really good, guys.
Yeah.
Like, they've been told you might be the best group of young talent in the world for a decade.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yes, he didn't get as much done with that group. What you have in the U.S. is a bunch of guys who were told you're really good for the U.S., and then they've gone out and get their teeth kicked in by the world.
Yeah.
So that group might be way more interested in listening to someone like him who's been in those rooms with those guys and can say, I saw the problems there, and I know what the issues were, and I can fix them here. Roberto Martinez is someone that I really hope they reach out to.
I'd be okay with that.
So I'm going to put those three guys probably as my, you know, non-Klopp list. I'm going probably with Irv and Jesse Marsh are like one, and I'm going to say Jesse Marsh is one, Irv Renard. Actually, I'll take Irv first. I'm going to say Irv first,
he's
Jesse
number
Marsh.
One for you?
Yeah, just because he's done it more often. Like Jesse Marsh had I cannot dismiss the fact that it might be a fluke what just happened with Canada. That's a possibility.
Yeah, but it's also on paper. Like
They did it. I'm just saying Irv has done it more often with more diverse groups of talent.
Totally true.
And has been able to walk into various locker rooms at various points in life and said,
qualified a team through Africa and then Asia and the Middle East.
Like, one cups. Won the African Cup of Nations with two different countries. Like, and not Egypt.
Yeah.
Like, Egypt was not the team either of those times. Like
Ghana or Ivory Coast. Like,
well, I think Ivory Coast may have been one of them. I think.
Were they?
Yeah, who did he win with?
Zambia and Ivory Coast. There we go. Perfect.
Okay, so he won with Ivory Coast.
Well, Zambia is in the Ivory Coast.
Okay, yeah, that's a good one. So I'm saying let's call him. Yeah. Let's call up.
I'm high on Aiden Terzic, too.
You know what? I forgot.
I'm really high on him.
Man, I don't know if I would take him or, yeah.
And again, to be fair, I put a pin in Thierry Henry.
With the
caveat that his support staff has to be incredible.
Yes.
Like, it's got to, you have to have.
I think that hire would be especially good for the PR of it, yeah. Especially good for this guy can make the case to America that soccer, like, this sport, you need to get behind it, you need to support it. He can walk into that locker room when they're down 1-0 and inspire them.
I would hire Giorgio Chiellini just off of his statement on the Fox Soccer broadcast.
You know what? Absolutely right. I would actually love it if he wants to be a technical director. Matt Crocker, see ya. Get Chiellini in here to do that. Like, let him run the thing.
Yeah.
Or let him coach. I don't, whatever he wants to do. But I do think if Thierry Henry, because of him not having really any success anywhere he's gone as a manager, that's a tough sell. I need to know that, but I could see.
But it's a different job.
It's a different job, and I could see him motivating some guys with this. So, but those are I think my top three are Jesse Marsh, Irvinar, and either Terzic or Roberto Martinez.
I'm good with that list. I like that list.
Well, you know what? If U.S. soccer looks anything like that, then I'll be very happy. Mm-hmm. I am very afraid it doesn't look anything like that.
To Wayne Rooney on becoming the new coach.
Hey, guys, people know who Wayne Rooney is. They do. And you know what? He's probably had a better managerial track record than Thierry Henry has, I guess. I don't know if by much, but he has. So, okay.
Well, former MLS manager.
That's right.
As well.
And player.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, other things, too, I heard. I think he's done other things. do we have everybody? Did we cover it all?
I think we did.
Okay.
Well, congratulations to nobody who we mentioned on this list on becoming the next manager of the U.S.
We just killed your chances, but there you go. I feel like we gave a solid.
Do you feel better now after this?
Yeah, I feel like we actually finally got it out there. We really got to talk about it, and I hope that people enjoy this. But I think we've thoroughly, as exhaustively as we could, talked about every guy that I think is a good chance. And if we said that, like Jim Curtin, no, they said I don't want him. I don't want
Bob Bradley.
No, get ready for Michael Bradley to get a call and be like, "Hey, my God, you know you played for so long, you understand how U.S. soccer
works.
I'll
buy a Canada jersey. To the play. I'll buy a Canada jersey.
If they hire Michael Bradley, I renounce my citizenship. That's it. I'm done.
Phones are ringing again. It's time to leave.
All right, we'll see you later. Thanks for listening. Have fun next week with our stupid episode. See you then.